All right, I'll call the regular Park and Rec Commission meeting of August 20th to order at 6:31. The Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could you do a roll call, please, Gloria?
I just won't talk. I'm not gonna talk, so. I don't need it except to say present.
Commissioner Chase is absent. Commissioner Carver is absent. Commissioner Barlow?
Present.
Commissioner Beaupre is absent. Commissioner Hillman?
Present.
Commissioner Plikas?
Present.
Commissioner Mathewson?
Present.
Commissioner Schober?
Present.
Commissioner Stone?
Present. Any alterations to the agenda? Any alterations? Okay, remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda. Remarks from the public. Okay, to consider and act on a motion to approve the meeting minutes of April 16th, 2025.
Make a motion, we accept the minutes for the meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. We did have meetings in May and June. They were informational only. We'll recover some of that tonight. And last month's meeting was canceled. Recreation Director's report for August 20th. Sorry. Excuse me?
They still have to be approved.
I thought we didn't approve because they were unofficial.
They're informational. They're not unofficial.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the informational meeting minutes of May 21st and June 18th, 2025.
I second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Recreation Director's report for August 2025. Pete's not able to be with us tonight. I'll go through it. Basically, summer camp was over. Sandy got received a lot of compliments from parents and grandparents. Does mention some issues with campers and behavior issues. Thought the staff did a great job. I don't really know much more than that on summer camp.
Rock, can I
absolutely
speak on this a little bit?
Sure.
I happened to run into an incident down there picking up my granddaughter. Now, I think I know the procedures. I'm not sure what his are or the camp, but I went down to pick her up. I'm on the list to pick her up. So I go down there, I walk in, I tell them who I'm here to pick up. They radio to whomever, I don't know who they radio, to the counselors or whatever. Meanwhile, there's chaos in the front lobby there. Doors wide open, it's chaos. Kids running everywhere screaming, counselors standing there. Now, I don't know. I believe there was two or three adults at the table that you signed them out at. And I told them who I was there for. Never asked for ID. They didn't know who I was from Adam. I waited almost 15 minutes there, standing there waiting for my granddaughter. Meanwhile, three other parents came in. I'm assuming they're parents. Same thing. Never asked for ID and identification or anything. The kids came down, left with these people. I didn't see the people sign them out. So I don't know if, I'm sure that's not the procedure, and I can guarantee you that's not the procedure. And I think something should be said or something should be done before we have ourselves a problem.
So let me offer to, I'll make sure this is on the agenda for next month when Pete's here, so we can try to get Pete to weigh in. Did you? Yes, Kate.
So, Counselor Southard. Sorry. So you see the other one. I did speak with Commissioner Barlow about this immediately after it happened, and I did go into Peter's office, to the director's office, and spoke to him about what had happened. I asked about the procedure, and he told me the procedure is that everybody gets, you know, ID'd. Obviously, after parents have picked up several times, they would not be ID'd because the staff knows them. And I mean, that goes anywhere. That's schools and such. You know, I know that from personal experience. But, you know, Commissioner Barlow had never picked his granddaughter up.
I was on the list. I'm on the list to do it. But, and then the male adult that's supposedly at the head table is, I don't even have my granddaughter, and he's pushing, who are you? Sign this paper. I'm like, I don't even have my granddaughter yet here. Why am I signing this paper? And no one else signed the paper. So I just think whatever the procedures are, maybe have to be reviewed with whoever's hired next year.
My two daughters are camp counselors at the camp, and they've been camp counselors for the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to their stories when they get home and we're talking about our days. And I think that there needs to be a complete overhaul and revamping of what the focuses are for training. It hasn't changed. They do exactly the same training for the last 5 years.
I agree with you 100%.
And I think it needs to change. I think there's things that are focused on that shouldn't be focused on, and safety, obviously. I also work in a public school, and even though parents come to pick up their kids multiple times, we photocopy IDs, and it is in their file. So when they do come again, we may not ask them when they sign their child out, but we have the photo ID. And if it's somebody new, our security officer takes that ID, photocopies it, and puts it in the file.
Correct.
You know, it sounds like it was a breakdown, but I think the problem is that it needs to be a complete overhaul. Summer camp training that happened 10 years ago isn't going to work now.
Right.
Kids are different, and
different protocols have changed in 10 years. It's just that simple. Things change every 3 or 4 years.
And that's coming from them. They didn't have the girls. They did 9 through 12 boys, but it was kind of the same thing.
Right.
There seems to be a lot of communication breakdown,
and also it needs
to be revamped.
When I was standing there, I witnessed these two boys that evidently had done something wrong. Now, you have the lobby, you're all familiar with the setup when you go and pick up the other table. I don't think that table should be there anyway. I think it should be inside the gym or something. It's just too confusing right there, and the doors are wide open, people are coming and going. But the they did something wrong, and they were getting reprimanded right in front of people, the public coming in and out of the building. These two kids are standing, and they're petrified by the, and they're being reprimanded. And after he reprimanded them, he called the counselor over that was responsible for those kids and was reprimanding the counselor right in public. Now, you have the whole gym, you have so many rooms there. Take them, the kids or the counselor in the room and do it there. Don't, it's not for public display, that stuff. So I just was very disappointed when I went down there and saw that.
We'll get this back on the agenda, and Kate, go ahead.
So the commission knows I did receive several complaints over the summer regarding the camp, and I paid Peter several visits, many phone calls, speaking with the mayor, and earlier in the summer, I did speak to the mayor regarding taking a look at the training that we're giving our staff at the summer camp. And I've had some of the camp counselors come to me and tell me that it needs to be updated. And like Commissioner Hillman said, kids are different now. They sure just are. And mm-hmm. we are not meeting the needs of these kids. You know, we're saying it's behavior, behavior, behavior. Well, a breakdown is happening somewhere.
And I don't. I don't want anybody to get in trouble or anything.
But
I just want something to happen
issue too.
Before
this is a systems issue too.
Right.
And this is something that needs to be looked at. And I have been saying it now for 3 years. And I did email the mayor over the summer, and I said, over the off season, we need to look at this, and we need to see what needs to be done. So this goes off, this camp is
before we have
better,
something happen.
Before something
happens.
Happens.
Then we're going to have
can
a bigger problem.
Go to like other towns and see what their training is, or like ask them, so maybe they have more updated ones, and he doesn't have to reinvent it, but he could maybe find something that it's and then kind of tailor it for here.
Right, I agree. I mean, that's where
I'm sure there's information out there that you can find, whether
and I mean,
the state
I know,
has it
yeah,
or somebody
yeah.
has it.
Yeah, but even like go to Ledger, whatever. Whoever
right. right.
See,
what do you do?
It's better than mm-hmm. we're doing.
Because I'm sure there are things. I get it. There are requirements
right.
that he has to do based on the state. But I know several people who, and I'm not just talking about a behaviorist. I'm talking about people who do professional development for teachers and for paraprofessionals, for our staff, to teach us how to de-escalate situations and handle situations with kids that behaviors start to rise and how to de-escalate. And it's so important right now because, like I keep saying, kids are different. And I think that's something that is so important that's missing. Among other things, but we are going to be looking at it, and I think it would be great to get it on the agenda because it's something that needs to be addressed desperately.
Yep, we'll get it on there for next month. Thank you.
Thank you.
His report talks about the summer concert series. Says they've been having between 80 and 140 people so far. Movie night says they had about 40 people. Talks about the free pickleball lessons that we had. They had 7 people sign up. I sent an email to Pete. I saw he posted once on social media about the pickleball lessons.
Pickleball and tennis, I believe. There's
no, that's a new one. The previous one. He posted once. I don't want to say he. I'm not sure who posted it. It was posted once. It sent you to a link that you couldn't sign up at. So I wrote to him about that. The other thing that disappointed me about it was it showed a picture of some generic pickleball courts from somewhere. Not the brand new ones that we just paid $750,000 for. So I said something to him, or wrote something to him about that. Mm-hmm. And they had seven people. I think they had the capacity to do up to a dozen people. So I have a feeling the word didn't get out. That's where I'm going with all this.
And it was confusing. Some people saw it and were asking me questions about it. They didn't understand what it was like, how the post was. They didn't understand because they're asking me, and I'm like, I don't know, because we haven't had a meeting. So
right.
It was kind of confusing for people.
So there is a new post for some new lessons for next month where they actually have pictures of our pickleball courts, and it's much better explained as to what you have to do to sign up, how much it's cost, times, and it's including tennis lessons also. So I still would like to, I want to see how often that gets posted. I've seen it posted once. It's been shared a few times, but I want to see how often. There's no reason they can't post it every day, is there? On the town website? Not on the website, on the town Facebook page.
On the town Facebook, absolutely.
Post it every day. Post
I'm going to add it to my list because, again, I think that that's another way that we should be getting information out to people, not just about the pickleball lessons, but we also have a bunch of programs right now that registration just started for, and there's nothing out there.
And I think the other issue with the lesson, it should probably state the pickleball courts are going to be closed for these lessons so that people
he posted
can't.
That on the Team Reach site. He
because
did
people
post
didn't
that.
See that. Like, they were like,
they put signs up. He put signs up, and they were taken down.
Okay.
So people chose not to see them.
All right. Well, that was another question I got.
And
I'm like, I don't know.
I just want anybody else to see them.
Right. So we have what's the right word? There's a group that plays there a lot. And they're not possessive of it. They watch over the courts for us, you know, but sometimes we got to close them down, and I don't think they really wanted them closed down. So.
Rocky, I don't know if this is time since we're on the pickleball. I think we were just kind of discussing this prior to the meeting, or should wait to new business. I've gotten a couple calls from people about how these have cracked and peeled. Are we looking into getting those repaired?
Yep, that was brought up a couple months ago, and. The representative actually came back, and they should be repairing them before the end of the season.
Yeah, because I think
they're not
should
quite
be
sure what happened, whether it was damage or yeah. or they're not thinking it was any fault of theirs, but they're going to come fix it. It's hard to say what it is. You know, people could be smashing a racket on the ground. I think. People may still go in there and skateboard. I mean, we've posted signs. I saw somebody roller skating around on the high school's new tennis courts. And I actually got out of my car and I was going to go say something to them, and there's no sign posted saying you can't do that. I mean, that's the first thing you have to have. You have to have something posted. Otherwise, you can't do anything about it. So. But yes, those have been noted, and I don't know if you heard in the spring the posts actually raised up a couple inches.
Well, I didn't hear about that. No.
And they.
Yeah, as long as someone's looking at them before repaired. They get worse, and we have a bigger problem. So.
Yeah. So they should be getting fixed. And not to go backwards, I don't want to keep dwelling on this, but. Some of the other things, like the movie night, summer concert, it's just not we're not advertising this stuff. It's on the town.
Now, again, who's responsible to put this on Facebook? The rec department?
I think so.
Yeah.
So, again, my 21-year-old daughter, we went to the food truck festival on Saturday night. It was dinner time. And there was literally nobody there. And the only place that we saw signs posted were right at Camp Oakdale. There were none at the dump. There were none at the Four Corners by the high school. So, again, having a conversation, and she's a college senior, and she actually had a really great idea. Why not look to hire a college intern who is majoring in social media management? It's free labor, and this is what they do. They go around, they live stream everywhere. They're all over social media, wherever it is. No disrespect to Peter, but he just doesn't seem to have it with the times. And if we want people to be enjoying all of these things, then we, according to everyone, Facebook's for old people. So young people aren't on Facebook. So
They're somewhere else. Facebook's old now. Kids have got other things.
It doesn't have to. I mean, a high school kid could stream it.
But I think that's a good idea. I think that's something that should be brought up too later on in discussions and on the agenda.
There's not a lot of people thinking how powerful social media has become. This is sort of irrelevant, but last year I spent a lot of time, I kept going back to Google Maps once we got the addresses for all our park facilities, and I kept putting in corrections to Google Maps to get the address and say, this is the pickleball course, this is the... And I just got an email through Google Maps, there's been 100,000 visits to the pickleball courts. That's a lot.
Using the maps program in
college? Yeah. Just somebody looking for that address. 100,000. So that, I mean, you know, that's...
That's a lot of traffic.
I mean, that's why we, you know, not trying to go backwards. We put a big effort on getting street addresses for all our facilities. People want to know how to get there. They don't want to... That's how they do it today. They want to punch in an address, and they want to be taken there.
Right. You can get, like, a permanent pin. I mean, there's package stores. You can drop inside the package store. It's crazy, but...
Yep. So, that's... All right. Let's move on. One of the other things Pete's been working on, I'm not sure if everybody here knows... We've actually, I'm not sure, Kate, whether you were responsible. Someone was responsible to actually get us some help from the Mohegan Tribal Government for a grant writer. They're offering our services to help us write grants. So Pete's working on that, and basically what he's doing is taking everything that's on our SIP plan and putting it into a big package. So I think that's going to take some time for him. I'm assuming that we'll have an opportunity to look at it and make sure it has everything we want to include. You know, right now it's including the paving of the Camp Oldale parking lot. He had written the tennis court parking lot, but I'll talk about that in a minute. The splash pad, the field improvements, the drainage on Field 7, all the lighting projects we had talked about, security cameras, Mossaway property, the disc golf course. I don't know if you remember, a couple years ago, we had a paved trail drawn up around Camp Oakdale. That's going to be put in there. That's on our SIP plan, actually. So just wanted to let you know that's in process. One of the things that we think can come off is a tennis court parking lot. I'm not sure what we call it. Is it a community grant?
It was through the, we were on the bond agenda through the state. And
it's a state bonded project.
It's a state bond, yeah.
For we got $175,000 for pickleball court paving, and $200,000 for Camp Oakdale improvements. We have to clarify specifically which project that's for. They're really public works, but we work hand in hand with public works on these. So we'll get a little more detail on what those are about, but we don't have to put those into this grant.
So we're meeting tomorrow. I don't know if you're planning on going to that, Commissioner Stone, but I'm going to that meeting with the tribal grant writer.
It was supposed to be at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, yes.
I was planning on going, but my daughter has a surgery. I'm not sure if I can help her that.
So I'll be attending that.
Okay, good.
Okay.
The next, I don't know if you remember, a while back, the Girl Scout Troop 63416 came to us and asked about, presented a project to us. Well, lo and behold, they raised all the money, they procured the swing, was installed, and they had a ceremony that Pete attended. And Pete never told any of us, never sent anything to the commission. My understanding is he didn't send anything to the mayor. My understanding is he didn't send anything to the town council or the town council liaison.
Two demerits.
So they had a ribbon cutting. I happened to be neighbors with one of the Girl Scouts, you know, parents, and I saw them, and they were quite surprised that, you know, there wasn't some participation by the commission because we were so supportive of it and understood that we didn't know about it. So I reached out to Kate, and I wanted to make you all aware that at the next town council meeting, September 8th,
September 8th, yes, at the very beginning of the meeting.
At the very beginning, they're going to have a recognition for the Girl Scouts. So we're all invited.
We're all invited to attend.
So, again,
what date is that?
September 8th.
Monday, September 8th.
And you start at 7:30, is it?
7 o'clock.
7.
And they'll be under presentations, which is right at the very beginning.
Right at the beginning, right.
And we're just going to give them a nice recognition for their work.
Here.
And then they'll be having their first meeting of the season upstairs. I procured them a room for that. When I did speak to them, they were under the impression that we all would be informed of the ceremony. So I just wanted to make sure that that was clear to the commission as well.
Yeah, they were very surprised that there wasn't a presence, but understood why, because we didn't know about it. So hopefully we can move on and learn from that. Let's see, Community Booklet will be coming out in September. I think you're all aware we had some other projects going on up at Camp Oakdale. The bathrooms, we painted the inside and outside of the bathrooms where the fields are. The soccer shed project is finished up. They painted the outside of that, put a new roof on it. They actually have, they've started the site work on the new storage shed at Camp Oakdale for the public works crew. That's going on up there right now. So that's kind of an update of what's going on with that, with some of these other projects we've been involved in. This was something new, and actually Field 4 at Camp Oakdale. So that's the smaller field in front of the youth football field between the parking lot and youth football. That's been taken offline. That's not usable. They said it's going to be unusable for 1 to 2 years. I guess there's drainage that runs under it. The pipes have collapsed, and it's causing divots and unsafe condition on the field. Like I said, it's never been brought to any of our attention that there was even a problem up there. We know Field 7 has drainage issues, problems. When I first read this, I said, they started working on Field 7. It's Field 4. It's a totally different field. So
I will say Field 4 has always had drainage problems, even as far back as like when Caleb was. Field 4 has always had drainage problems, even as far back as when Caleb was playing on it. I think I asked when I
first started with the commission, what it would take to get the drainage fixed on that field, because it turns into an absolute mud pit. Mm. Like, even before this, it turns into an absolute mud pit after one game. And when you're there on Saturday and Sunday playing, you got seven games going on the field. If you're the last game, it doesn't look very good.
That's odd that it's never made it to our list then, because Field 7's been on there forever.
All I was told was that they looked at the drainage before and it was going to cost way too much to fix it. I don't know what that number is. I never got very many details on it, but just that it was going to cost quite a bit to fix, but it seems
I stand corrected. It's on our list. We've never asked for any money to do it, but it's on our list. Soccer field four drainage issues.
Yeah.
Who did the walk-arounds must have got that on there at some point.
Yes, I did.
So anyway, they're working on it.
it just seems like something that we could have potentially done without it having to come offline.
For 1 to 2 years, that's kind of disturbing.
It's like the leaky roof. You don't stop it with the drip, and then it turns into the entire house.
I don't know. Is there a public works meeting? No, there's no public. Next public works. I'll go to the next public works meeting. Yeah, I'll go to the next meeting. Kate will be there. We'll try to get an answer for that.
2 years, we could start with number two shovels and finish quicker.
All right, so that's about it for the director's report. Report from finance. I believe we got sent the new budget. I don't think we have a closeout budget. We don't ever seem to get that, but I guess there was no issues with our expenditures for last year. The only thing I noticed when you look at the Fund 79 is that we don't have much money left. We've spent a lot of our Fund 79 money on a lot of these additional projects we've had done. So we have about $16,000 left. So I think we'll just have to just keep that in mind if requests come to help out doing some of these other projects that come up along the way. There is some data in here about how much money was taken in for the camp. It was about $111,779. I'm not even sure where that goes, Case. That's just going to the general fund?
I believe so.
So it does seem that every weekend, almost both days on the weekends, the large pavilion's getting rented. So
we have to come up with like rules so like they won't be damaging the walls and stuff like that. Remember
we can talk about that a little bit when during the regular. we have some fees to talk about, and I think that plays into.
I think it was like because people were doing staples. And
yep. Right. Well, we can talk about that a little. Okay. Any questions on the financial reports? Okay. August newsletter.
I mean September.
September. Oh. Darn.
See, I'm Rocky, we forgive you.
Can't trust me for anything. September newsletter. Thank you, Mary. Pete's only comment on this. He's got the pickleball and tennis lessons in here. He's waiting for some more information on Montville Race Day. That'll be coming up in September. You know, Kate, I know we met last year and even afterwards to try to, we had asked that they made some course signs up, and I don't think any of that stuff's happened. So.
I looked at that.
I'll follow up on that.
Okay.
The pumpkin decorating contest or event?
Yep.
Right. Is there a reason that it's bolded, that it's limited to the first 50? I know, like, there's been times that I've gone to register. This was a little while ago when Caleb was actually doing, like, little kid crafts, right? But I would go to register, and then I would see 50 registered available, and realize that it happened in 4 days, figured it already filled up, didn't call, then come to find out there was plenty of spots remaining.
I don't know. You'd have to reach out to Eva or the director. I do not know the details of that.
Okay. It seems like something that could be, like, in the body of the paragraph rather than...
I know at one point in the, so they were in the middle of revamping their, what's the name of the sign up, Kate? Web tracks. So like the new dance classes are loaded. In the old system, you could actually go in there and actually see how many people had signed up. You can't see that in the new system. Okay. The public can't. I don't know, I would imagine Pete can. And Eva can.
Yeah.
But I would never be afraid to sign up. I would just sign up. And if they got 52 people, then they'll have to deal with it. I mean, I would think it would close once they got 50 people. If it says it's open, it should be open.
Yeah.
I would think.
Well, I'm a little over the age of 12 now, but...
But I don't, so this has still got some work to do on it. I don't think we'll get a chance to see it again, but. Okay. Unfinished business. So, the trail map, I believe Public Works has been given all the large specialized trail maps when I talked to Matt a week or so ago, but they weren't, I think they were given them and they weren't really told which one to put where. I think they can figure it out, but
we'll mention it next week.
And the new trail map with the the barcode is published now on our town website. If you wanted to go scan a copy or download a PDF. I had mentioned that some of the old maps were still posted on different places and asked them to take them down, and I have not gone back to look to see if they're still there or not. We've been waiting, believe it or not, it's last September, we asked for this, I'll call it the development plans for camp, the large pavilion and the dog park area, for what do we want this to look like someday? And here we are almost a year later, and those plans are not done yet. I talked to Pete about them. My understanding is that they are in process. What's important about them is we have money right now, theoretically, to do a little piece of a project that's supposed to be depicted on these plans. These plans should be good enough that we could send them out as part of a bid package to get quotes. And so now we're in the situation where we don't have what we need to go get quotes and move forward with projects. This is like holding us up at this point. So, yes.
I did the walkthrough for the large and small pavilion.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to go over that while we're talking about it.
When we get to that, that's on here. Sure.
Take his method while we're talking about it.
There was something, project status, Schofield Park. That That has been on Public Works' list of things to I'll say, clean up. And I believe all the cleanup has been accomplished. And they asked that we just concur that right now there's no outstanding things that we want done at Schofield Park.
I haven't had a chance to go there yet.
And I think the answer is right now we do not have, you know, they've cleaned it up. They remember there was a pile of grindings and the school bus, all that. All our requests have been taken care of, and they just want to take it off their monthly agenda. So I think, is everybody here okay with them taking it off their agenda for now?
Yeah.
Okay. Kate, can you share that with them? Do you need anything else than that, Kate? Thank you. Carnival committee update. I don't know if you want to just give a summary, Morgan.
Yeah, sure. So,
hold on, so I don't get yelled at.
Yeah, we haven't met since the carnival.
No. So the carnival went really well. I'm sure everybody heard about the fun things that occurred at the carnival. The only thing is, afterwards, I was contacted by a couple of people, and there were some payment issues in that we did not pay them. So I'm getting that rectified now. So that way, hopefully, they come back next year. Other than that, though, I didn't hear any negatives. Everybody seemed very happy with the rides, with the food, with the different vendors that were there. I do need to follow up with the farmers market vendors and just see if they would like to come back or if it wasn't enough foot traffic for them. Either way is completely fine. It was a shot in the dark to see if it would work, but you know, worth the shot anyway.
So I'll give you my two cents. The
only two.
The I think Friday night was a record crowd. Saturday was a really pretty good crowd. However, there were some issues that we saw. And what they were is basically it was ride bracelet prices. There was a bracelet. You could buy a ride bracelet from noon till 10, or you could do one from, what, 4 to?
4 to 10.
Right. And that caused some, I think what it caused is that basically from noon till 3, not a lot of people came. So we discussed, and Morgan, I don't know if you were a part of these discussions. We discussed, and we actually talked to Tim, the owner, about on Saturday not opening till 2.
Oh.
And then just having one ride price, bracelet price.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually thought that was a good idea.
Okay.
It's not etched in stone. It's something to be discussed. You know, we can discuss it further at the next carnival committee meeting.
Yep.
But that, and then Sunday was down. Was pretty slow actually. So I think we need to look at, you know, what we can do on Sunday to kind of perk things up a little bit.
It was wicked hot.
I think it was real hot. That.
It was over 100. It was.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah. And,
but there was no rain. I would like it pointed out that there was no rain. Just saying.
So so basically for the 3 days, you know, this is for rides. We don't know anything about what he sold for food, but they did $72,882. And we, our portion of that was $18,220. So I think our 18,220. I think, and again, I don't know why we don't get these. I'm not sure what our expenditures were. I want to say there were 10,000 to 11,000. I think, with everything. So we haven't been able to have our carnival committee meeting. So when we do, we'll try to get that and summarize that at one of our meetings down the road. But all in all, it was good, you know. So I think it went very well.
Yeah, I already have a list of things that I want to change for next year.
Yeah, you know, from a just a outside, I'll call myself an outsider when I flip that hat on. I think we can improve food still. We still need to get some better food vendors there. And
listen, I'm still holding out for the cannoli truck. All right.
I know it's hard because there's a lot going on. So people get used to going to certain places and they want to keep going there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I thought the rides were good. He brought, what, two or three new rides?
Yeah.
Seemed to be very popular. I would suspect he's going to bring some more rides.
I think the radio was a good addition.
Yeah.
For being on site. That was good.
Yeah, and then probably something I was disappointed in is that, you know, the park and rec tent, for the most part, was never staffed. It was just there. So we probably should just hire one of our part-timers to sit in there and do something. Yeah.
I agree.
So. All right. Facility walk-arounds. I know I am one of the group that hasn't done anything, but anybody that's...
I'm done.
Okay. So... let me get to that. Where is that list? You have the list. I have it too.
Right here.
No, I have it. I just got to figure out in my stack where I put it. But who wants to go first?
I'll go first. So I know they're going to be redoing that parking lot where the pickleball court is and the tennis court is.
Oh, I have Camp Oakdale Dog Park and Court Complex. So I know they're redoing that parking lot to that area. I would recommend that they have like a one-way in and out, because I notice people are just using whatever way to get in and out of that. I don't know if they can do that when they repave it.
So what I've heard, again, we should have drawings to look at that we can comment on.
Yeah.
Okay. What I've heard from Matt at Public Works is there's drainage issues in the beginning, the entrance, and that they need to repair that. I asked them, they've got the island. I mean, theoretically, you're supposed to go in the right side of the island. You're supposed to. So that's probably a marking issue.
Yeah, and that's easy.
It's noted, and like I said, the things that we've talked about in the past should end up showing up on these drawings. The parking lot, a shady area for...
The dog park. And also, if they're going to shade...
I think there's
a bench by the pickleball court that people sit in, and you're in the direct sun after you're playing. Like, people take breaks, and it's in a direct sun.
So maybe getting some shade in that area?
I noticed that. The pitting.
Yeah.
The disco thing looks really good. The guy goes out there, I see him, and checks his... make sure there's no frisbees in there.
Well, theoretically, that's where we're talking about, you know, doing
the
splash pad.
And I know we talked about cameras. Probably cameras would
help.
I know it's
that's
on the
long
list.
Overdue.
Yeah.
We're going to try to put that into the SIF grant.
That was on the list.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
Just one of my things. That's it.
Okay. And I think we also we had like water supply down back by the wall. Were we looking to do that? Or am I mistaken?
I don't know anything about water.
Oh, at the dog park?
At the dog park. I thought we wanted to get some
water
back there.
Yeah, because the bathroom's right there, so it should be easy enough to...
Shouldn't be too hard.
Theoretically tap into.
Yeah, and then the lights are included on the SIF grant. Right.
Yes.
All right, thank you. John?
Sure. We did the large and small pavilion. I know we inquired if there was a path between the two. If there ever was, I couldn't find it.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, when the leaves come down, might be a better chance of finding it. But looking at each one of them, I kind of like kept three things out of a shotgun this year. With the small pavilion, we're going to have to do with the supports what we did with the large one. It has gotten progressively a little worse. Looks much worse this year. We should do something with the drinking fountain, remove it or replace it. It's Look like somebody took a sledgehammer to it. That's give you a good description of the big chunks missing. The parking lot. What's taken? I think the parking lot was just paved over. None of the rocks below the pavement or, you know, the subsurface were removed. And that's what's coming through and destroying the parking lot. I mean, I don't know if we can get some grindings and, you know, have them put in there and pressed in. Just to, you know, keep it somewhat in budget. For the large pavilion, well, that's pretty much taken care of. The picket fence that's facing the small pavilion, we could do some maintenance on. I have to question, there must have been like electrical panels that controlled lighting at one time. They're like...
That's a large pavilion?
Like if you're sitting at the entrance of the large pavilion off to your left, there's like panels on bollards.
Yep.
I couldn't figure what the purpose was for that. And
actually, I was up there looking at this damage that you were talking about, Deb. And I happened to meet Pete up there. We went out there. There's poles out there.
Yeah.
So I think those were put in back when the fair was held out there. Right. Now, my understanding is that they've all been, they're all workable. But they're all... that's what Pete was asking. He didn't know. I don't know if you noticed, the covers all had padlocks on them.
Yeah.
And Pete was saying he didn't have a key for them, and he didn't know how to turn them on. So he was going to talk to John. We should be able to get that from John.
Is that like is there temporary power there?
No, I think it's permanent power.
Permanent power?
The ones on the right work. The ones on the left, I believe, when they redid all the electricity on the pavilion, I believe they verified that all those could be powered up.
So what would their purpose suit now?
They were there for vendors back for the fair.
The ones on the left, there was one towards the back on the left that works because we would have the inflatables person would hook right up into that for the bounce houses and stuff.
I was just asking, why have them still there? Couldn't figure out what the purpose was for them.
Well, don't take that one in the back left out.
Yeah, it was probably... Yeah, it was probably 15, 20 years ago they got put in when they moved the fair there.
Now that the pavilion itself looks really good, those boulders look absolutely... look like warts.
That's on the list to be repaired. They're going
to be replaced
with those.
Yeah, get rid of them.
They're going to get rid of them. And they're going to put something else in there.
Like put bollards so you can't turn it into a parking garage.
Correct. Well, that's what happened. Somebody brought their car in there and changed the oil. So that's why the rocks are there.
Those rocks stick out now.
So that should show up on our on the plans we have.
And I was looking at it. There's two elevations to that property. The volleyball court elevation and the pavilion bathroom elevation. And in between there, it's a little moonscape-ish.
Yep.
I mean, if we wanted to, I would think the town would be able to improve that. We make it, like, that parking lot over by the volleyball court, it's raise that up, make it the level of the street volleyball court, and pick a section from, like, the bathroom. It kind of curves over to the pavilion. Bring that bathroom pavilion area to one level. And you have two playing levels or fields or planes, whatever you want to call it.
Why don't we look at what the plans, when we get the plans, let's look at them because I don't think that's on there. Let's look at them.
No, we don't have anything on there right now, I'll tell you, really.
Well, again, we should be getting plans for a parking lot on the pavilion side. Remember we talked about maybe relocating the road and all that stuff. We should have plans for that. But we can make this comment about maybe raising that elevation. I know right now it's used, the only time I see it used is when they do the car show. They park the cars over on those hills, and you walk between those hills.
Yeah, but I mean, there's some section, I don't even know if you could drive cars here for a car show. It's, you know, it's that's probably as close as we have to a park in this town. There's no center green here in this anywhere. I mean, you go to Colchester, what a fabulous green. But it's one surface. And, you know, that's what I was looking at, expand that upper surface to a one surface. It would, you know, expand the usability of that area. No.
Okay. Anybody else ready? Okay, to be continued. I'll try to summarize these and get them in here, and we can look at them next month. Where are we at? So again, we got a couple months ago, we got presented a disc golf proposal. And it's in here, where they basically wanted to put disc golf course basically throughout the Mossaway property and all around the fields and have it intermingling with the fields. And I think they wanted, there was like a total of 22 holes. So, you know, almost immediately we kind of discuss problems with that. It's probably not good to be playing disc golf if kids are out in the fields playing. You don't want them getting clunked off the head with a disc. So we kind of pushed back a little bit and asked them to look more at just using the Mostaway property. My understanding is that they've done that, but I have not seen anything. So I'm expecting to see some sort of disc golf layout for the Mostaway property. Okay. So for new business, we've been asked to look at program fees. And unfortunately, because we haven't had meetings and haven't been able to, say, approve anything or recommend anything, is that new programs are starting. So they've actually implemented some new fees already. We can discuss them. And when I say we, you know, Pete had to do that. So in here, should be some program fees.
This one.
Oh, it's right after it. Yeah. So there's two things. Yeah. That what you're looking at. Yes. It's those two pages. This page and this page. Oops. Sorry. So this is the program fee. This is the facility fee. So we had talked about facility fees, and this is ultimately what they're doing and charging today. We can talk a little bit about that more in a minute. The program fees, so I think we briefly discussed this. Basically, what Pete was doing was taking the instructor fee. He added, I think it was $5 to the...
Looks like $10.
Well, $10. Oh, no, current, yeah. He added $10 to it, and then he added $5 more for a non-resident. And we had discussed, I had brought up that, you know, the percentage increase on some of the programs was way higher than on others. You know, like when you do that, basically, say the gymnastic program has a very small markup between what we pay the instructor and what we charge the residents. So I had put together a couple proposals that had fixed markups. make a long story short, again, because we haven't had meetings and we had to move forward, Pete was pretty adamant that he really liked the resident fee at staying just $10 above what we pay the instructors. And what he agreed with me with is that we should charge the non-residents more than $5. So where it says Pete proposed is basically the same $10 markup from an instructor's fee to what we would charge the residents, and then we'd add another $10 to that for any non-resident. Because we haven't had a chance to discuss this or quote approve it, that's what he's charging right now. Because he had to move forward with something. So if there's no objection, that's what he's gonna go with for not only fees for this period, but for fees moving forward, say in the, you know, when the next session comes up. So this is open for discussion. Like to hear your thoughts on any of this.
Non-residents enroll in these programs.
What's funny is like the summer camp.
There's no one.
You won't have it for.
What's that now?
You won't have
if non-residents don't register. You won't have enough people to make it for residents.
So for summer camp, dance camp. There was five residents and 28 non-residents.
I think
that's odd. We had that number. I think it was 10% non-resident, right? We were told it was 40%, and when we got the numbers, it was about 10% non-resident.
On most of them.
You know, I don't know if anybody has any thoughts about any.
So we're getting more non-residents in these programs.
No, more residents than non-residents.
Oh, okay.
About 90% residents, 10% non-residents.
Okay.
And again, the residents are paying taxes. Non-residents aren't paying taxes.
This puts us in line with other towns, without pricing us out.
I think I still think all our fees are low.
Well, because if I remember right, it was like 2014 was the last time this was visited.
Yeah,
That's like a 40% increase just inflation alone since 2014.
You know, over the years, like the dance instructor went up on their fee this year. I think gymnastics went up on their fee, gymnastic and maybe yoga last year. You know,
who approves those fees? How come you just said they went up on theirs?
Recreation director. They when they do their contracts, they propose their fee.
So that makes more sense if you just go up $10. If the instructors go up in their fee, then everybody just gets boosted up. So
just keeps boosted up.
It makes more sense.
But again, you know, where I was looking at it a little differently is that, you know, for dance going up $10, that's a 22% markup. Mm-hmm. Gymnastics, because it's a much higher instructor fee, that's only an 8% markup. Would it be more fair if you charged everybody 20%? Again, Pete thought that would end up making it too high.
Well, just to, and I don't know, some potential logic in there. Dance, you require, you know, leotards and shoes and tights and ballet bar and all those little things, right? But the chances of, because I'm sure the instructors carry their own insurance for this,
they have to.
Right? So the chances that a person's going to get severely injured in dance is there, but minimal, I'll say, right? But to where in gymnastics, you're literally flying through the air on some of the things, or you're up on a balance beam, and your chances of falling at that point, I mean, not everybody's as clumsy as me, but it increases. So for me, it makes sense that gymnastics would be a higher instructor fee if they need to have a much more comprehensive insurance plan to go along with it.
Yeah, and I don't think we're here to discuss what the instructors are charging. We're here to discuss how much we want to mark them up.
Right, but that's why your percentage is lower, right? $10 into $120 fee is
correct.
Yeah.
But is that fair? Why is that?
I don't know why it wouldn't be. That's more my point. As a person that's taking gymnastics, you're kind of signing up for that higher risk, which means you got to pay a little bit more for that higher risk.
I'm missing the point.
It's like, if you want to sign your kid up for football, right? You got to do different training classes. You got to get different pads and everything like that. But the cost for football, let's say on a yearly basis, is about $200 that a family needs to put out for everything, right? But if that same child wants to sign up for hockey, ice hockey, right? You're paying in the thousands for your equipment and your instructor's fees and stuff like that because of everything else that goes into it. So I don't know that $10 is the right number by any means whatsoever, but it does make sense that some of them are going to have a higher percentage and some of them are going to have a lower percentage just based on what has to go into the instructor's fees when they're putting this together. That's just
I was just made me think, do we even cover the cost of the operation of the building at the time they're using it?
Yes.
I don't know.
The heating, the electricity, the
maintenance,
is that all covered under the fee? And then I don't know.
It costs us $200 to heat the building or water, whatever, per hour.
Yeah, that would be a direct. That would, we'd have to really do some digging on that.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it would be important I'm not saying that we need to look at all the contracts, don't get me wrong. But I think it would be a good idea to look at maybe two or three of the contracts that are getting signed just to see what we're signing up for, also what they're supposed to be covering under their own, right? Maybe the divide is a little off. I don't know. And then I think it would be very important for us to look into what Ledyard or Groton or Mystic or the surrounding towns are also paying. And I'm not saying that we increase our prices significantly if we're very far below them by any means whatsoever, but if another town, I'll pick on yoga, right? If another town is charging $75 for the yoga sessions, right, and we're charging $50, that's a large enough difference that we might want to look into why we have such a lower price versus how many people are signing up for it at that lower price.
Agreed.
I would say we leave it the way what Pete's doing, like leave it to that point and then find out other fees to see if we're compatible.
Yeah.
Because right now, changing anything, he's already charging these
fees.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
So let's find out what other towns charge. I think that would be the answer.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Okay.
Also, I think I don't know what you're looking for here, too. Are you looking to make a profit, or are you looking to break even? Or I don't know what the ultimate goal is. If the ultimate goal is to make a profit, to replace equipment and wear and tear of the building, maybe we should charge a little more for that.
I think if you look at our charter, we're here to determine what's in the best interest of the town for their recreation needs. And if we've done things where we've kind of subsidized programs for the betterment of the community.
Gymnastics is going to wear out stuff. Is there, charge enough to replace that?
Well,
or are we even responsible for the replacement? The instructor might be. That's why I was saying it
might
be worth looking at the
contracts. Well, I could just go back to say the dance floor. Where did you save money over, or did
that came out of maintenance.
Well, that's what
right.
I'm saying. I'm saying
right.
we should add that into the...
To cover that?
Well, okay. So we've got a field shut down for 2 years. Are we charging youth football enough money? Or soccer? Or lacrosse? My guess is no matter what is on this piece of paper, it doesn't come close to the amount of money we spend servicing youth soccer, lacrosse, or football.
But also...
Okay? They do the more... that is a
like
cost that is...
The building itself or the field itself is kind of like we're responsible for it even if it doesn't get used.
It's got to get maintained.
Yeah, it has to be maintained. But if it, no
but
it
doesn't have to be upgraded.
It doesn't have to be upgraded.
It did have to get upgraded. We just put new roofs on two of the buildings down there.
But like
repainted them both, put new stairs on them.
Organizations, say football, the field has to be painted.
Football.
We still cover our operational costs here.
But some of it's about.
But again, I think
to have activities for your kids to do and not
charge
out
don't,
the
right,
ballpark.
I,
just you want. The kids to be involved in the town playing the sports.
Absolutely.
I don't think
you don't want to charge too high and then you just price them out.
No, I agree, but
I don't think we're really would ever recover money to cover all the expenses.
No.
But we're here.
But I would just like to find maybe Pete can tell us. So why even raise the prices then? If we're not here, why raise anything? Why just leave us as low as possible and more residents can afford to do it then.
Well, you could do it for free if you so choose.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So I don't know what Pete's going to have to explain. What is this money being used for besides just paying the instructor? What else are we doing, is he doing or that department doing with that money?
Well, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because I think your chain of thought, right, is round numbers, right? Let's say that the new dance floor costs $10,000, right? And we know that logistically speaking, it's going to need to get replaced about every 5 years, right?
Correct.
Well, in those 5 years, if we're saving $10 per person and putting it into an account to know that we're going to have to replace the floor in 5 years, right? It might not cover the entire bill of what that is because we can't possibly know what it's going to cost in 5 years entirely. But we have a good chunk of it set aside so that when it does come time to needing to replace it, we already have a fairly substantial chunk of money.
So unfortunately, it's not to cut you off, but that's not how this town works.
It's not how any municipality works.
Not,
they don't think up of maintenance of anything.
This money goes in the general fund.
No municipality does.
Right.
They just build something new and just hope and pray that they can get by for 10 years without spending a dime on it. And then 10 years comes and they got to $15 million repair job on something.
Exactly.
And
but,
then you
got to
hit the taxpayer.
If we do have that sitting there.
You'll have a little something. I agree. But I just don't know what
it is. At the very least a part of it. Maybe it's not a full fix. Maybe something else needs to be done. But at least it's something. Can we
change
that?
Is that what
Why?
So I'll speak for Pete on this. Pete didn't want to raise the rates at all. He wanted to keep them at... $10 more than what the instructor charges for the resident and $5 more for the non-resident. And at one of our meetings, I had proposed raising the non-resident. I thought we should get more money for any of the non-residents because they don't pay taxes. Why are we...
I agree. If you're going to raise the prices higher on
the... And right now, under this quote Pete proposed, that's the only thing that got changed was that, the non-resident went up $10. And right now, that's what's in for people to register, and we'll see during this first...
See people complain.
See what happens,
Maybe Pete could give us some more information.
But all your... Like I said, I question all the time, because we get really nothing from youth football, or youth soccer, or youth lacrosse, or... We nothing. They don't pay us a dime. That's
whatever money they raise or they get for their fees. They keep. They don't give nothing.
But again, we're here to encourage that. That's for the betterment of the town. We could never collect enough money to pay for the cost of all the maintenance being done up there. So I'm not saying, and I'm not proposing that we do charge more, but.
It kind of goes back to why we're charging fees then. Is it just administrative costs?
Well, so the difference is youth, so those don't, the instructors don't charge fees. So here, you know, the instructor has to get paid. So we have to at least cover the cost of the instructor.
I will say when and I can really only remember Caleb's, to be completely honest. So youth soccer specifically, the only fee that I paid for was for the insurance that they required I cover over him for that season. Because the coaches don't get paid, the you know what I mean? It's
all volunteer.
It's volunteer. It's
correct.
So and then the refs, I believe that comes out of the money that they raise. So again, it's not very much.
No, and it should be a good deal for the residents.
So we can keep this on there, and again, when Pete's back, we can chat a little bit more with him. But right now, that's what we've done. We've basically raised the non-resident fee up to $10, and we'll see what happens.
With that said, I was approached by just because summer camp is listed on here. I was approached by a couple of my coworkers that were asking me if there would ever be a time that the Montville summer camp would be available for out-of-town residents.
I don't think so. No, that won't happen.
So is there fills a reason up, why?
Yeah, it fills up now with residents.
Summer camps usually are just for resident only. In the town, they don't usually open it to non-residents.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
I just think you're looking for problems then, I think.
Yeah, they just...
putting it up to every outside.
We don't know
how cheap we are.
Fair enough. That's why
they're not. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
I get calls all the time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I'm just curious.
Good morning, Mayor. Good to see you.
The next... next item on the agenda is there's a new independent contractor agreement. It was sent out. It's trying to be more, I don't know what the right word is, trying to fill a lot of the holes that we had to make sure things are in black and white as to what we should expect from the contractors and what the contractors should expect from us.
So this is more
all the instructors.
All
the instructors, okay. Yep. This is what would be used for that. I know you didn't really have a chance to look at it. I mean, we don't really have, I don't think approval authority or anything like that. I'd like you all to look at it. I don't know if this is what they're using now. I think this is what they're using now. My comments were that, because we have had some discussions about this in some of our other meetings, what I thought was missing from here was the insurance requirements. There are insurance requirements. To me, that should be expressed in here what they are. Pete showed me what they were as a addendum, and I said, "Well, that should be, written in the contract. See addendum A for insurance requirements." But I mean, this covers
number 9.
How much, it establishes the rate, it establishes when someone will get paid.
Look at this?
They developed this.
Okay.
So like I said, the only thing I saw in here was missing was the insurance requirement. And then they're for the most part, from what Pete said, there's another, they make a little addendum for each program. So like dance, you have to come in the back door. You have to do this. You have to do that. Because each program's a little different. you know, dance is there at the same time as the youth services are. They can't occupy the same space. You know, dance can't go in the front door because youth services does that. So, but again, I think that should be, and I believe it, the intent is to make that part of the this main contract. So I think this is still a work in progress, but without Pete here, I really can't answer that.
Going back to our previous conversation, number 9 answers the equipment that the contractor is responsible for it and maintaining it.
Okay. Doo, 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 doo. The next one has kind of been passed by. We had a request 3 months ago from the farmer's market to hang a sign on the fence at the Camp Oakdale Lodge Pavilion.
Why not? That's where it is, isn't it?
So that committee virtually immediately broke their word, and they hung two signs on the fence. So I don't know if you've been by there and seen them. They came to us and asked permission. It's happened, so I don't think we really that we need to have any formal approval of that. Do you?
You're welcome.
Okay, they're up there, and they look nice. They're very nice signs. They're not blocking any visibility coming in and out of the place. Now, again, I think a month ago I said that would be a great place to make a banner to post about the bands. And nothing happened. So we could, you know, maybe even put about rental opportunities, because I think if you go to the town website right now, you can't find that you can even rent Camp Oakdale Pavilion or any of our rooms. You know, we have, Kate and I met early, and we've been developing a list of stuff that's missing from our website.
Just an idea, maybe down the road here when we're trying to think about maybe making this the green, the main attraction in town, is maybe thinking about putting a digital board up to advertise, like in the front of the park, like the schools have, and they say what's coming up, the events that are coming. You can list the vans, you got the bands, the farmers market, and you know, pavilion rentals, call such and such number, and you know, it looks classy. I think it looks better than a, not that a sign, you can get a nice signs that look good, but this would, and then just put all your activities on that, and maybe by the entrance or somewhere, and
yeah, I know,
put it in the plans. And
the athletic boosters bought the one at the high school, and one at the, I couldn't even imagine what the one at the town hall cost. Because that's two sided. Because each side is.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's something maybe to think about.
Yep.
When we're doing this area over, you wanted to make it the main attraction in town. One of the,
yeah.
So do you stick it to that CIF?
They have one at the firehouse right there by Ockham Lane.
Yeah.
There's one there too.
Yeah, like the boosters put one up first, and then Mohegan Firehouse did it.
Mohegan Fire updates their own, though, right?
Yeah, that might be theirs. When I walk the dogs,
And those four-way intersections are good places to have them because people actually stop.
Well, you have to stop for the boosters one because it takes you 25 minutes to read it.
How much can you read on the town hall one as you're going by it? 35 miles an hour, like a half of a frame? What's that?
The speed limit is 30, not 35.
They don't bother you at 35.
Just an idea. to throw out.
And again, once we when we get these draft plans, if we ever get them, we can look at them and we can comment on what we want to add. So, we already talked about the Girl Scout troop inclusive swing. One other thing that is actually part of this, it can kind of be considered part of the facility fee. We having issues with, we're trying to figure out what to do with garbage. So you rent the pavilion on a Saturday, 20, 30 people, right? You pay your fees, put your garbage in the bins, and then you leave. I think you're aware that we charge a fee and we charge a $50 deposit.
Mm-hmm.
For making sure that you leave the facility, you know, the way you found it. We've come to find out nobody ever really notices that, and nobody checks it, say, on Saturday. So you get a new group in there on Sunday. They do the same thing.
Saturday.
They've got trash from Saturday. Sometimes the people on Saturday do the right thing or think they're doing the right thing. They tie the bags.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then what does the Sunday crew do?
Put it on top of the tied bag.
They just dump it on top of the tied bag. You know, not being you know, malicious or anything. That's just, they don't know any better. So there's a problem, up, you know, with, and then the Sunday crew leaves and nobody checks, you know, the facility could have been trashed the day before. There could be broken stuff. Nobody's checked it. Come Monday morning when Public Works goes to the facility, okay, they indicate, they say, hey, there's damage here. They don't know who did it. So what we've learned, or what I think we've learned, is that basically no matter what, everybody always gets their deposit back. And I think Kate made the statement, well, why are we bothering even collecting one? So I don't know what to do about this. What something else that's part of the issue is that if you want Public Works to empty that garbage, you basically have to pay them for 3 hours at probably a premium rate because it's a Saturday or a Sunday. You could use them as the person to check people in and out. You know, hey,
give them a checklist, and
you could.
They'll be responsible, whoever signs that checklist.
Right.
That,
but you got to pay them.
Saturday would be okay, and then
and
Sunday again.
So, but what that is basically you have
money
to pay someone to come in on a Saturday and someone on a Sunday.
Well,
the mayor was kind enough.
No, you need to pay somebody to come in on Saturday night or Sunday morning, and then Monday.
Well, Monday's a regular hour, so they can...
That's what I mean, though. You only need to pay one.
Well, Saturday.
Well,
Saturday.
Let's back up,
right,
though.
On Sunday.
Morgan, we rented Friday nights, too.
Oh, never mind.
You could rent it on a Tuesday. I mean, you don't really know. So,
listen, Saturday to Sunday is one night, okay?
I know. There's a lot of combinations. I think everyone's trying to figure out a solution. I don't know what a potential could be.
The fear of losing your money will keep people more on the honest, don't wreck it.
People don't think they're wrecking it. What Deb was alluding to, people have actually, we just paid whatever our total bill was to redo the whole pavilion.
Yep.
People have been going up inside, and some people have been screwing signs up. You know, happy birthday. People have been stapling them. People have been nailing them.
That's why I said, if you rent it on Saturday, you take pictures on your camera or even film it. And then when you leave, you film it that you didn't cause the damage. And then the next person has to do the same thing, hold them responsible, and then whoever damages it, that's the party that you're going to have to charge. Because otherwise, if you're not going to pay Public Works to come in, then we have to put it on the people that are renting it. Like when you rent an Airbnb, if I go in, I see some damage, I'm taking the picture and sending it to the person saying, this is already damaged.
But most times, you've hired someone to do that for you on a full-time basis. At the end of the week, they're coming in and checking everything, and you know that's an expense. So this could be an expense. The cost to have a public works person come in on the weekend is about $225.
Raise the fee up.
Do you raise the fee up to $325 for a Saturday?
The way.
Or is there some other? You know, solution.
Just
back to our previous conversation, our fees may not be in line with what it costs to operate.
Well, that's not true.
Like, we're saying that the fee we're charging for the pavilion is not covering the operation of
that
pavilion.
That is true. That right now at $100, that is a true statement.
So,
and we used to charge what, 50?
I can't believe we're charging 100. I mean,
yeah.
Only 100.
You're operating it
behind the eight ball already.
You're behind the eight ball before you. You're always going to be.
However, again, for resident, there's a fee structure for residents. There's a fee structure for non-residents. Again, like with all our programs, we're trying to do things for the betterment of the community. So I don't think we're going into this trying to make money. I don't think any mayor has ever come and said, you need to break even on the cost of running the pavilion. I don't think that's being asked here.
So just
the deposit and the fee for the renting the place covers at least
more money than it would to
maintenance is time to check it.
I don't know how else we do that.
I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
If you're the Boy Scouts and you rent the gym, you pay the amount you're paying the janitor.
If you do it at the high school.
Yeah. You're paying him.
We used to do that at any...
The organization's paying the janitor.
I used to do that just to say what he's saying. When they rented buildings down in London, whatever, they rented out for meetings at the senior center or anything, whatever organization... They paid for my custodian to be there at night, to open that building, to lock that building, and make sure it was clean and everyone's out. That fee was charged to that organization that was doing that building.
I don't even think that this is just about. This isn't about making money. That's
no.
We've all established
no, I'm not,
that.
I'm not saying make money, just break
but
even.
But covering
the cost.
The cost and the upkeep. We've paid a lot of money to have this pavilion fixed and be as beautiful as it is. We need to make sure that we don't let what happened to it happen again.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It looks fabulous right now.
It does. Now, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I can and can't discuss. So my understanding is that they're could be an alternative to picking the garbage up, but it may cause some union problems. So
you'd have to negotiate with the union.
Well, so make the rental fee for the pavilion the cost of the maintenance. You're paying for the janitors. I mean, the town, it's the town's property, but the janitors can make sure it's not been damaged to cover the deposit. If it has, they lose it. And it's clean for the next crowd.
So what are you thinking?
You hire Public Works. What's it cost to have them for 3 hours or the minimum hours?
So let me toss this out there. Because you make a good point, you only have to do that on Friday or Saturday, whoever's the first one, right? You don't have to do it Sunday.
It'd be done Monday morning.
Could be done Monday morning because it is done Monday morning for basically free. So what do you charge them? Different rate on Saturday than you do on Sunday?
Nope.
You charge it all the same, and then you have money to fix
Yeah, this isn't about fixing anything. This is not, again, we're...
Or you average it out. If it's 3 days, you got nine, you say you got 10 hours or 9 hours, divide it by it and just flatline it across all the 3 days.
So
it will be a little cheaper.
To change it to $200 on a Saturday and $200 on a...
So based on the pricing, it would be and now. So it's $225, $225, $100, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Because those, you need someone Friday, you need someone Saturday. You wouldn't need anybody on Sunday. We're charging $100, right? So it would be $225, $225, $100. Add that up, divide it by three.
And round up.
Now, is some days you rent does the pavilion get rented in the morning?
Well, if you round up, it's $600.
Does the pavilion get rented in the morning, and then in the afternoon, there's a new person renting it?
That's
they
what's
can do
in
it
the,
twice.
The
so
paper,
then you
yeah.
have to have two times that day, public work come and clean it. So it would have to be based on the rentals you have for that weekend.
That's hard.
I don't know.
That's hard.
Rocky, you said that it's probably a union issue about the 3 hours.
So it's potentially someone else could go pick the garbage up.
Right, but
somebody else in a different union could go empty the garbage while they're already working on a Saturday. There's other unions that work on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay.
The electricians come by and do a garbage detail.
Or if Public Works schedules overtime to somebody. If Public Works works with Parks and Rec and finds out if that pavilion's being rented on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, then they can go to an employee and say, okay, I have on a Wednesday or a Tuesday and say, hey, I'm looking for whoever they go by the lowest on the list. I don't know how they do it. And say, all right, I got 2 hours on Saturday. Or I need somebody to come in for an hour to come up to Camp Oakdale and pick it up. It doesn't have to be. Does it have to be a 3 hour?
Yes.
Even if it's scheduled overtime?
What if you offer them 4 hours, two morning, you know? We're going to offer. No, sorry, going, no, you can't do that.
No, I said, look, I said, like in my business, they don't pay overtime until
like
you work more
contract.
Than 40 hours. So why can't I take somebody 2 hours away on Wednesday and have them work Saturday? They're protected by the union. You can't do that. You can't.
Making life miserable for you.
I'm not saying changing someone's work schedule. All I'm saying is if you just schedule overtime, for the whole summer,
right now, that would be a contract negotiation. Right now, the contract says you got to pay them a minimum of three.
In the contract.
Right now, the contract says you have to pay them a minimum of 3 hours.
Unless it's scheduled. If it's scheduled, you still have to.
No. Right? Yes, Morgan.
Thank you. I think it was last year, I rented one of the beach houses that they have in Groton, right on that you can take there. And it said right on the contract that the rentee is responsible for all garbage to be picked up. Meaning I had to bring my own garbage bags with me, and they were very nice in having a dumpster that you are able to throw it in. But I was responsible for cleaning up everything.
And take your own trash
and
up the property.
Take my own trash. I literally had to bring my own garbage bags. I set them up. I put the weights in them. And then I threw them in the dumpster that they had there.
Well,
so
that's an option. You can do that. You could say,
I don't know.
Take
but
the garbage with you.
You still have an inspection.
Right. But so it's very much like, no, it's very much like renting a car. I'm sorry, but like if I go to Enterprise and I rent a car, right? I am taking ownership of that vehicle. And if I don't inspect that car at the time that I drop it off, and then they have a little box on the side of the building that says that I'm responsible for anything that happens to that car after I drop it off until they inspect it the next morning. Well, guess what? If I drop it off, or sorry, let me back up. If I pick it up and there's nothing on it, and I drop it off and I take pictures and there's nothing on it, if they come in the morning and somebody took a sledgehammer to the windshield, I'm still responsible for it, even though it didn't happen when I had possession of the car. But I need to have the pictures to document it. I just had it happen with Avis. They told me, they tried charging me $2,000 because there were scrapes up and down the doors. And I sent them the pictures that were timestamped from the time that I picked it up that showed that the scrapes were already there. So my charge was removed. But if I don't have that, then yeah, if somebody goes in on and rents it on Saturday, and then Sunday they go in, and then on Monday morning they find damage, and neither Saturday or Sunday people have any documentation showing that they're not the ones that did it, then they split the bill.
And that's what
that's
I said.
It.
And I said that at go. That meeting we had, the informational meeting, yeah. The exactly same thing that you're saying. That
yeah,
they're held responsible. And if they say, I didn't do it, well, you didn't take pictures, you're splitting the cost with the other people.
It
can be in their contract.
Well, because you have to, I've rented it multiple times. You have to write down what time you're going to get there, roughly speaking, what time you're going to end, right? So if I say I'm going to have a picnic there and I'm going to start setting up at 10 a.m., I better have a video on my phone at 10:01 that shows me doing a walk around of the pavilion, showing that there's no damage or that there is damage. And then if I have it until 6 o'clock at night, I should take a video at 6 o'clock or 5:59 showing that I am leaving it with no damage, and it's time-stamped. I don't need to pay anybody to go look at it if I have the video. Now, if 2 weeks go by, I've now received, oh, actually 2 months go by, and I've now received my deposit back in the mail, now I can delete the videos because you're asserting by sending me my deposit back that there was no damage to that pavilion. But until that deposit gets to me, I am liable for that video on my phone or the pictures that I take or whatever. But it's not an issue of having to pay somebody 3 hours because it's union or what to do with the trash. It's just a matter of redoing the contract so that the person that rents it is responsible for their own trash removal, and they have to be responsible for showing that they did not damage the pavilion. And if they did, then they need to pay for it. That's it. And if they don't, then they're just blocked from ever renting facilities with us again. I don't know what the consequence is, but that seems like a pretty good one.
You know, you take their credit card number.
Yeah, but they can cancel
it. I can cancel it, but it's a way to make them be responsible for the pavilion.
If you're going to do that, have them haul their own trash out of there, or are we going to maybe put a dumpster there that they could...
I've seen it done both ways. Yeah. I've rented one facility that I needed to literally take the garbage with me, and that was just a pain, more just because you have to put garbage into your own vehicle. I will say having to just throw it right in the dumpster right there worked great. And it wasn't messy. Nobody turned it into, well, a dumpster because it was just maintained. And then you have one thing that you need to throw stuff in and one thing that then needs to be removed.
Can I interject? Sure, Mr. Mayor.
You put a dumpster in there, and it's going to be filled by every passerby that comes through there.
Well, not if we put video cameras in.
Well, we're working on video cameras. We don't have them yet.
You have a key out.
The issue here is that...
Well, yeah, I mean, we already do keys for bathrooms. We
could
have a key for
the
dumpster.
Let the mayor speak right now.
The issue here is that the standard that was being applied by Parks and Rec that is unwritten said that when there's a party of more than 100 people, they will be required to hire a custodian. There's a 3-hour minimum. That's a minimum. If the party goes on for 8 hours, they got to hire a custodian for 8 hours at their overtime rate. So what I'm saying is I go to the union and I said, I need to have someone empty the garbage when there's no one there, no custodian there. And the people at the transfer station are available. Can I use the transfer station to empty the garbage when they don't hire a custodian? Well, you're taking jobs away from us. Okay, that'll lead to a lot of litigation. So I want to go back to them, and if you will make a resolution to send to the town council, I recommend that it be 80 hours. I'll go back to the union and I'll say, look, when there's less than 80 people in the party, I would like to allow the transfer station attendant to go there sometime during a shift, at the end of this shift maybe, and empty the garbage cans. To your point, Morgan, if you make it as a condition of their returning their deposit and they don't empty the garbage, that's reason for keeping a part of that deposit. So that's a good thing. And maybe if you guys did that, I could ask the union to concede at least the transfer station who are working to go there and inspect following the end of that party.
Yeah.
Case closed. Or I order Peter to go there and inspect it at a time at the end of the party or maybe the next day on a Monday morning and a Sunday morning. But it's your call.
Yeah, the transfer people are already working just down the road.
Yeah, I like I said, that's what I've seen before, more specifically with that growing house.
In a perfect world, Kate and I discussed that, about having people, just have people take their garbage with them. You could do that. You definitely could. It's a change. It's a fundamental change. You know, your point well taken about bringing your own garbage bags and stuff. You know, I think no matter what, the town always keeps garbage bags in all those dispensers, right? The canisters. I think we always put bags in them.
Yeah, because we've had
to
have a couple of times.
I mean, the only problem, we could still put bags in them. People use them, then they got to take the bags out. I agree with the dumpster. I've hung out enough at the concession stand on Saturday and Sunday where I've seen residents pulling up there and throwing garbage in the dumpsters out back. I've talked to the same gentleman I see all the time. He says, I've always done this. And I said, yeah, but you're not supposed to.
I haven't done it. I've always put my garbage in the dumpster.
Right. But
a key could be part of the deposit.
Yeah. Well, it is right now.
You have a key to the dumpster.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a couple things I like about just a little bit we've talked. Let's say worst case scenario, 225 Friday night, 225 Saturday night, $100 Sunday, that's 550, 600 divided by 3, $200. We change the fee to $200 Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. And then if we need to, we pay someone. Right now, we pay someone to come in. If somebody wants to, I know what the mayor's asking us to do. If somebody's smart enough to put a quick resolution together, you know, I honestly, I don't want to get in the middle of a union fight. I don't. I do not.
Could the Park and Rec hire somebody to do that?
I don't think we can.
You can't, like, a couple hours? No?
We can't have a part-timer go do it?
I just wondering if you'd hire.
Our part-time employees, they're not part of a union, right?
But you're hiring part-time employees, and you're taking away from
part-time
for overtime for.
Okay.
That's.
I didn't know.
Well,
that's
down there.
Yeah.
I mean, the mayor has asked that someone formulate a resolution to
overtime to your employees.
If change from 100 to 80, right? I was not, honestly, I don't think anybody here knew anything about where this 100 thing you're talking about. I know. It's not in any contract Peter's ever put together. No, I mean, it's not in any. No, it's not in any. There's not anything in a renter's agreement that says you have to pay. It doesn't exist. I'm saying it doesn't exist. But again, it's not in any piece of paper we've ever had any of our renters sign. So, I mean, I think we're kind of at a loss.
So you just need something to say if it's 80 or under guests, transfer station goes, basically. Right? You need something that says if it's 80 guests or less, we're all, you're authorized to have the transfer station go and no. Sorry.
I'm saying if it's 80 or more, they would be required to hire a custodian.
Okay.
For the duration of the party period.
Yeah.
And let me run with that. And, but, you know, having that removal of the garbage as the renter's responsibility is a darn good idea. And if they don't remove the garbage, we withhold their deposit.
Right.
However, that still requires somebody to go there on Saturday to verify it.
Is that... Hold on,
see if
but,
there's any damage. Because
otherwise the Sunday person could say that
that's,
was left.
That's why I was asking, because
everybody
then that's not union.
The pictures.
Chairman,
picture.
If you make it a requirement for them to remove the garbage, let me work with that.
Gotcha. Well, and we could do that. So what are you saying? Let's not raise the rates and make it just change it so that the whoever rents it is responsible for removal of the garbage. Otherwise, you're going to be charged. We could say otherwise you're going to be charged $100 to remove the garbage.
$100 $100.
Well, because you got three nights. Friday nights it does not get rented all that often. I think we're really talking about Saturday afternoon going to have it looked at.
How often does it get rented Sunday?
Almost every
Saturday and Sunday it's rented.
So what's the fees now on a Saturday and Sunday?
$100.
$100.
Yeah.
With $100 deposit.
$50 deposit. I'm pretty sure it's $50.
I thought it was
so why don't we up it to $200 with $100 deposit?
Yeah. And you have to take
remove your trash.
Film, you take pictures or film a walk around prior until after your usage.
And if you don't provide those pictures of your walk around and you don't remove the trash,
I'm sorry, you're right,
you keep your deposit. Something.
So Camp Oakdale Lodge Pavilion, $100 for a 6-hour rental. Full day, 200. See, that's the other thing. Sometimes we do it rent it twice in a day.
What's considered a full day?
Full day is 200.
I know, but what's the?
It's not
hours?
Defined.
How many hours is a full day?
I think this whole contract has
24.
To be that so that it can be addressed. All
24.
I'm taking it to 9 o'clock Saturday night morning till Sunday morning 9 o'clock for $200.
No, but $100 for a 6-hour rental. So
you can't rent a hotel. You can't rent a hotel room that cheap.
I think that we need to look at that whole thing, and we need to add the pictures. We need to add all of those things need to be added to that piece of paper that people are signing, because that's why people are still taping things to walls and drilling holes into walls.
Well, not for nothing. You could have just an email address created that you email the pictures to at the end, or video or whatever,
but from your phone you can send them to Pete.
Yeah.
You film it before, send it to Pete, and you film it after.
A checklist to the agreement.
And
you return the key.
Redone.
I mean, there's so many things that needs to be reworked.
Let me be a devil's advocate. So you're going to have everybody, inspect every post?
How do we return the key?
I mean, really, we can get ridiculous here.
I know what you're saying. I'm not even saying that people have to send the videos to Pete. They have to hold on to them, like Morgan said.
We do not have a huge problem with damage to the pavilion. Okay, I don't want to.
I'm so against them taking pictures and it's saving them so that.
But where do you stop? What pictures are you going to take? You're going to take a picture of four sides of every.
I would go
stanchion?
No,
I'm serious.
When I rent a vehicle,
where does it end?
When I rent a vehicle, I pull it out of the parking spot and I walk around the vehicle with my phone.
Same. With the video.
With a video.
That's what I'm saying.
And when I returning it after hours, I get back out and I.
Yep.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That they can do.
And the date and time is on that video.
And we all have a freaking motion camera in our pocket. You're not asking a whole lot from anybody.
That's what the committee's here. The commission's here to help figure this out.
A lot of money. We should at least protect the investment.
So we're just going out in circles. This has to be updated and fixed of what we talked about, and then it comes back to us, and then see if we all agree with it.
Where's the key get dropped off now, if you have a key?
You have to put it back in front of the office.
So if you had a dumpster, you also have a key to the dumpster.
Have it on the same ring.
Yeah, right now it's a key to the lights and a key to the bathroom.
So there'd be a key to the dumpster, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know any of the dumpsters that are locked, because then that would require the company that's coming to dump them to unlock it.
Well, they have a key.
They don't lock them.
They'll have a key. You give them a key.
They don't dump.
They don't want to get out of the
truck. There is not a dumpster that gets locked, not in this town.
Yeah, but if they're, what?
I say we just have it. Remove your own trash, videotape it, get it to us if you want to.
Well, then who wants to take a cut at revising this? Because if we rely on...
Kate, do we have do we have an attorney that can write a contract out that specifies this, that makes it legal, that people can't come back to us and say, oh, who said this? Just to make sure it's correct and written out the right way.
We have one on the commission.
Oh, if we have one, I didn't know. Then, oh, yeah. Yeah.
We have an attorney on the commission.
Ask him to do it.
But I mean, what I'm hearing is that I think these fees, you know, say probably aren't out of whack well anymore. $100 for 6 hours. $200 for a day, $100 deposit, and we change it so that the whoever rents it is responsible for removal of the garbage.
And
damages to the pavilion.
Well, damages, that's in here also already.
Is it?
Yeah. It's just adding the pictures and the videos and stuff.
Definitely. And, yeah, and if you don't take your garbage, that's considered... You forfeit your deposit if you don't get rid of all the garbage.
Yep.
And then add in something about taking a video of the whole thing. We got to consider, you know, the
video when you arrive and a video when you leave.
Right.
And no taping things to the walls.
We can solve that by putting permanent hangers up there. That's Pete needs to resolve that. I've talked to
right,
Pete. We're going
to
buy.
People need to know that they can't.
Screwing anything, you can't go.
No taping, no tack.
We can
only inserting, only on something like a board or something that's put there for that purpose.
We're going to put some right. Yeah.
People still need to be told though.
Deb, do you want to take a shot at writing something? Morgan, do you want to take a shot at writing something?
Our resident lawyer. We have a resident lawyer here. He's just not here.
He's not here.
I'll see what like other pavilions like I'll look for like I think Preston rents out theirs and see what their contract says.
Yeah.
And see if I can like kind of.
I'll try to find that Groton one too and see if I can.
Maybe we can like see what other towns wrote and kind of. Like,
so we don't have a volunteer to write something.
I'll look.
Listen, I spend all day writing contracts.
Well, we all have things we do all day. What we've talked about. See what he says. All right,
let's move on.
And if you need something, give me a yell. All right. Okay. I think that's it.
Sure.
Communication, I think. Communications, nothing. Remarks from the public?
You can get another hour out.
Any further remarks from the public?
Great job.
Remarks from the public.
Yes.
Thank you for that. But I tell you what, you know, when you add up all the things that have happened over the last 2-3 years, there's been a lot of good things that have gone on. So, but anyway, there really has. Good stuff. Oh, I'm sorry.
You lied.
Did I say that? I probably said it. That the new storage shed is construction. Okay, I'm getting old. I forget this stuff. We're remarks from the public. That's remarks from the peanut gallery now. I saw they had a weird ditch going on in there. The pictures I sent you showed that. Yeah, they had weird digging going on in there.
Unforeseen costs.
Remarks from town council liaison, Southard.
So I have my list.
That's
everything.
It?
Yeah, well, yeah. So I just wanted to mention, because I talked to, Peter about this, and this is your decision for programming. I have had spoken to two market vendors. One person, her name is Alwise Botanical. She makes teas, things like that. She's very herbs, stuff like that. And she can do classes for teenagers and for adults. And it might be, she's going to send me some information. I'll get that out to you when I have it. And we could get that on the agenda for next month, possibly to discuss maybe some new programming. And also, one of our other vendors, she makes wire rings, and she would be willing to also do a class to teach people how to make her wire rings. Another person I've spoken to, just, you know, to offer something different. I mean, we've been doing the same thing over and over and over, it seems. So I've been kind of putting my feelers out there and seeing what there was, and these two people were interested.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's it. This was a really productive meeting. Thank you.
It's been a while. Thank you. No remarks from the director, as he's not here. Remarks from the commissioners. Bill?
No, I'm all set. I think it was, like Kate said, I thought it was a pretty productive meeting. We got a lot of things out there, so I think we got a few questions left for Pete when he put on the agenda next month, and I think we'll... You're doing a good job. Keep it up.
Mr. Plakis, okay.
I'm set.
Deb, all set?
I'm sorry for yelling at you.
It felt, tell me how you really feel. It felt good, didn't it?
It felt fantastic. all the conversations today were great, and I just miss seeing you guys. And yelling at you.
That's what you're really missing.
I have nothing.
Please? No?
No.
Okay. I have nothing either. Thank you all for attending.
Make a motion, will we adjourn?
Yes.
Second. Who made the motion?
I did.
Who's seconding it?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Meeting adjourned at 8:33.